As your sheet, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Continuing through the practical applications of what Paul is telling the Romans in chapters 12 to the end of the book, on how they ought to live because of who they are as born-again believers, alive in Christ, dead to sin, sanctified, set apart for God's use, as Romans 12:1 says, as living sacrifices. Not sacrifices that are offered once and burnt up, but sacrifices that live day by day, dedicated wholly, entirely, physically, mentally, spiritually, everything dedicated to God and His service. Living sacrifices. And so he brings out many practical applications for these Roman believers at the Church of Rome. Now, this passage this evening in Romans chapter 13, I believe, is the first century in Rome to the book, to the Romans, is probably the most extreme case to give this command to. And so if it's applicable to the people at Rome, it's applicable to everyone everywhere. And it's a message that I'm not sure I would be comfortable preaching in every church, because I know there are some red-blooded Americans who are not so fond of the powers that be. But that's not very Christian. And we'll look at Paul's message to the people at Rome and how they ought to be subject unto the higher powers. And he's not saying this is for a certain group of people. He says, let every soul, in verse number one, every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And so we'll look at what God thinks about how you ought to behave and how you ought to submit to those who are in authority. Let's begin reading in verse number one. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we approach your scripture, we do it with reverence and with recognition of the authority behind it, that it is your word, and that it is all true, and it is a command for us as Christians to live the way that we ought to. I pray that you'd help us to recognize this. And I pray that your word will be preached in truth. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so every soul ought to be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. Paul is very thorough in how he words this. He repeats himself in different ways over and over again, using exclusive phrases. There is no power but of God. All the powers that be are ordained of God. If you resist the power, you resist God, and you shall receive to themselves damnation. And so there is this correlation between the authorities, the rulers, the powers that be, and the authority of God. And here Paul presents them as one in the same. And so we're looking at how a Christian, how believers ought to present themselves as living sacrifices. And it takes a sacrifice to recognize someone else's authority, even though they're human and though they are faulty, just like we are. It's an important thing to recognize that the powers that be, the government, the authority, the rulers, they're humans too. But the difference between you and them is that God placed them in that position, and you have no right to oppose them. You have no right to say, you are not my judge, because God placed them there as your judge. and he did that in his perfect wisdom. And so it's a tough thing to accept sometimes, especially for those of us who, I believe it's most people, who just have that innate sense of justice, of things that should be done, things that are righteous ought to be done, and things that are wicked ought to be avoided. And sometimes our government does things that we don't approve of, and we don't want to submit ourselves to them. They've done things that are wicked. But God says those powers that be are ordained of God. You're not responsible for their actions. You're responsible for your own. And so how do you handle this? And so we looked at presenting our bodies, living sacrifice, as wholly acceptable unto God in chapter number 12, and conforming ourselves into the image of Christ, being more like Christ. And how do we do that? We looked at being that living sacrifice, that lowly sacrifice at the end of chapter 12, and being humble and preferring one another over ourselves, and submitting ourselves to each other, and loving one another. And so this evening we're going to look at the lowly sacrifice, or not the lowly sacrifice, that was last week, the loyal sacrifice. Because if you are loyal to God, you will be subject to authority. You are not, the government, the rulers that are in your life are not the end of the authority line. The president is not the top of your authority. God is. But the thing is, God placed that authority there. God placed the president in his position, and he placed the mayor in their position. And every position, that every power that be is ordained of God. God placed it there. And again, they are faulty, but we ought to recognize God's authority, be loyal to God. And in being loyal to God, we ought to be subject to man that God has placed over us. So let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The damnation being condemnation. You're found guilty. You receive punishment for your actions, for your attitude. And so there is punishment. There is a separation from God for the Christian who refuses to acknowledge authority. Was it in 2016 with President Trump where the whole "not my president" thing was happening? My memory is pretty bad, but I'm pretty sure that was a hashtag or something. Hashtag not my president. And then So we've had two presidents in a row who are very different to one another. President Trump, you know, not my president. I remember people crying when he got elected because they thought the world was going to end. They refused to acknowledge him as their president. And then President Biden got elected in this last election. And most of those people who were fans of President Trump, they were not fans of President Biden, so they turned around and said, "Biden's not my president, he's your president." Well, the fact of the matter is, both sides are rebellious against God. If you refuse to acknowledge your authority that is God-ordained, you refuse to acknowledge God's authority in your life. And it's that simple. We could talk about all the different aspects of government and all the different ways that government does things that we don't approve of, but you are not responsible for what the government does. You are responsible for what you do. And God says every soul ought to be subject unto the higher powers. And whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. You resist what God ordained, what God chose for you. If God didn't want you to be subject to the powers in America, you wouldn't be here. Right. You would be somewhere else. Sophia would be in Greece, but she's here, and she's subject to the American powers, and so are you. And I love America. I love our Constitution. I love our rights. I love our freedom. But when you think about the application of this passage in the day that it was written, this was written to the Romans, Roman Christians, Roman Jews and Greeks who were believers in Christ. And no matter what you want to say about how immoral America has become, there is no way that you could argue that America is anywhere near to where Rome was in the first century. And to be honest, I've not done much research on the culture of Rome, because I know enough about it, and I've read enough about it, I've learned enough about it to realize that as a Christian, I don't want to know any more about it. I don't want to learn more about the awful things that they've done and how depraved they were in their mind and in their relationships and in the way that they treated human life. It was a wicked place with wicked government. And yet the Roman believers were told every soul ought to be subject to the higher powers. So if that were applicable to the Romans who lived in the first century, that is definitely applicable to you and me. You can argue, well, our government kills babies and our government does not have godly morals. Well, neither did Rome. But God's word still says what it says. Every soul ought to be subject to higher powers, to the powers that be. For rulers, verse number 3, are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Have you ever been on the highway, and you're driving past a patrol car that, isn't very visible until you get real close to it? And no matter what speed people are going, everybody just brakes. They could be going the speed limit, and they slow down 20 below the speed limit because they're afraid. Because instinctually, they're like, am I speeding? I don't know. I'm just going to stop. And that's most frustrating to me because, well, first of all, I've never been pulled over before, only with other people who were driving. My day is coming. I'm sure of it. I've probably just been lucky. But I'm a law-abiding citizen, you know. So when I drive down the highway and I pass a patrol car, I'm not afraid of them pulling me over. If I know what speed I'm going. Now, sometimes if I'm just going with the flow of traffic in Miami, I know what speed I'm going and I'm terrified of how fast I'm going. But there's nothing I can do about it because the other option is worse. You know, if I were to go slow, I'm afraid I would cause an accident, and that's just the way it is. But if you don't do what's wrong, you don't have to be afraid of people punishing you for what is wrong. The powers that be are not terrors to evil works, but to good works. Or not to good works, but to evil works. Sorry, my mind's a little backwards. It has been for a few days now. But if you read your scripture, you can understand what I'm trying to say. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. And notice this, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. God is saying, don't just be afraid of doing evil because you're afraid of the wrath to come, the punishment for your evil doing, but for your conscience' sake, for the inner part of you that tells you this is right and this is wrong, that part that convicts you when you realize you've sinned against God. Rebellion against authority is a heart problem. And too many Christians, especially in America, have this heart problem where they refuse to recognize their authority, and they're rebels. They are not just against men, they are against God, if you refuse to recognize the powers that are. And so ye must needs be subject, not just for wrath, not for the sake of those in authority, but for God's sake. Are you loyal enough to God where you're able to comply and submit, be subject to higher powers that are immoral, that are imperfect, that are flawed? Are you that loyal to God where you're willing to present yourself and your family and everything that you have to the people who rule over you, even if they don't put God first? That is your responsibility as a Christian, because that shows that you are loyal to God more than you are loyal to men. Verse number 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Everyone pay their taxes this season? Tax season just ended. Well, you're paying the ministers of God, paying tribute to the government. Can you believe it? To avoid your taxes would be unbiblical. Verse number 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so he brings up the law, fulfilling the law, doing what is good and not being afraid of being punished for what is evil. And so God's word tells us what is good and what is evil, and it gives us in details, this is good, this is not, this is good, this is not. This is how you ought to behave in this circumstance. This is how you ought not to behave in this circumstance. But it's all summarized in one way. Do you remember what Jesus said? The greatest of all the commandments is to love God, and the second is to love others as yourself. And in this, you fulfill all the commandments. Verse number 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You've obeyed the law if you love one another. All of those laws in the Old Testament to the Israelites would have been fulfilled in love, respect towards one another, not stealing, not deceiving, not harming, not robbing, all of these things. Ultimately, love for God, but also love for others. And so if you love others, you will be subject to authority. If you're loyal to God, you'll be subject to authority. If you are, if you don't want to live your life, if you want to live your life close to God, you need to submit yourself to authority, to the higher powers. If you want to be blessed by God, you need to. And this, because this is what the Bible says, because this is eternally relevant. To argue anything else would say that God made a mistake when he preserved this word for all of time. And if you have any conscience, if you have any decency, you would never accuse God of such a thing, knowing that God is holy and God is just, and he does things that are above our thought processes, that are his ways are higher than ours. And sometimes we don't understand them, but we do know, as Romans 8 says, Rick's favorite chapter, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God works all things together for his good. And so if you do evil, be afraid of the government. Be afraid of the powers. Be afraid of your punishment. But if you do good, you have no need to be afraid. Now, what about those who their government has banned God? They persecute Christians. Still, there is not a terror to you if you're a Christian and you are living how God commanded you to. The powers that be are ordained of God, but they are limited in their powers by God. Do you remember in Acts chapter 5 what the disciples told the chief priests when they commanded them not to teach anymore in Jesus' name? They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this is the rallying cry of many rebels. This is the rallying cry of Christians who say, we don't need to listen to American government. We don't need to pay taxes to those wicked people. We don't need to obey their rules because we ought to obey God rather than men. But that is in what context? Preaching the name of Jesus. And this was a command given by the high priests saying, you can't preach in Jesus' name anymore. But they said, what are we going to do? Disobey God? God told us we must preach Jesus to every nation. We must do it here in Jerusalem, Samaria, in Judea, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It's God's command for us. Christian, if you do good, if you do righteous, you ought not to fear the government. And that's even the case if you were in first century Rome. If your life were threatened by preaching Christ, how can you fear what man can do unto you? Man can't destroy your soul. Man can't take away your eternal life. Psalms is filled with examples of psalmists declaring how much more important it is to obey God, because why should we fear man when God is our strong tower, when God is our help in time of trouble? If God wanted, God wants who is in government in government. He wants those who are in authority in authority. And they may try to act against God, and they may try to put their authority above God, but they don't realize who placed them there. They don't realize who gave them that authority. And no authority can undo God's authority, can override God's authority. And so you can be loyal to God, and you can obey your authority on this earth, and you can fulfill the law and the commandments, and you can love, and you can do what is right, and not be afraid of the government, because regardless of what is coming your way, you have the ultimate authority on your side. But if you are rebellious towards your authority, if you are rejecting of your authority, refuse to acknowledge them as over you, then you are not on God's side, because God has placed those people in your life to be your authority. And so you ought to be on God's side. And if you choose to obey God rather than men, you're still going to obey men because God placed them there. And as long as they're not commanding you to stop preaching the name of Christ, then you ought to be a Christian in how you act towards those in authority over you. So verse number 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He says, if you would just put this first, love your neighbor as yourself, if you would just put God first, submit yourself to authority and love God, love people, then you don't have to worry about persecution by authority. You don't have to worry about submitting yourself to authority when you ought not to. God says, submit yourself to authority and love one another. And I remember, there are certain times in your life that I think that I'll remember forever simply because of how it changed the way that I think. I remember driving down De La Cruz Boulevard in Santa Clara, California, and the radio was playing on. I was on my way to the store or something. And they were bashing Hillary Clinton. Well, I started to think about the things that they were saying. I started to realize those are some pretty hateful things to say about a person. And I started to think about who Hillary Clinton is. Is she a person or is she not a person? Did Jesus Christ die for her or did he not die for her? I would not be comfortable speaking evil of any person. Now, I will say when people are wrong if they are against God. And I will say that that is not how things ought to be. But I'm not going to judge any other person and pretend that I myself am innocent, that I know that I am a completely righteous judge like God is. God is the only one who can pass condemnation, can pass sentence on anybody. And I wish that people, that Christians, would have love for people because God wishes the same. And that includes authority. That includes government. That includes wicked people. Wicked people need to be loved. Wicked people need to be told Christ died for you, and that, yes, you're sinful, so am I. And you may have done things that men say are worse, but all sin is worthy of complete separation from God. And the powers that are over you are ordained of God, and they may be faulty, but you're no better than they are. The only authority that you ought to, the only authority that all men submit to is God's. And the authority that God has placed in your life needs to submit to God as well. And we need to think of them as people. We need to think of them as Yes, their authority, and I need to submit to them, and I need to put them, be in my place as God has placed me under them. But you need to pray for them also. You need to pray for your authority and realize that they are people too who need to be saved, and not just speak hateful things towards them and wish awful things upon them. But do you pray for your authority? Do you pray that they would submit to God as they ought to? Do you pray that they would lead in wisdom and in the way that God would want them to lead? Because they need that too. Who knows what I would be like if I were in authority? Who knows what you would be like if you were in authority? Power corrupts, and that's true in any case. Now, God can grant someone the power to not be corrupted by power, but what are the statistics of people who choose not to be corrupted by power? I don't know, but they're pretty small. And so don't condemn your authority because you don't have the authority to, first of all. But love and pray for them. Pray that God will use you as a citizen who is ultimately loyal to God. Pray that God will use you to be an example of what a Christian is. Loving, law-abiding, not a rebel, not a violent person who will stand up at whatever cost to defend their constitutional rights, but as someone who is submissive to God and in turn submissive to authority, show the world, show those who are in authority that you are under God and that they need to be as well. The apostles and Jesus himself and all of the people that you see in the New Testament who are used as good examples in Scripture, you don't see any of them fighting against authority. You see them being arrested. You see them being imprisoned. You see them being killed for their faith. But you don't see them fighting against authority. You don't see them protesting outside of the lawmaking offices. You don't see them take up arms. They do what God has called them to do. And Christian, if there's one point to take out of this evening's message, it's be loyal to God and do what you're supposed to do. Love, fulfill the law, obey the law in your love for others, in your love for authority, be subject to that authority. And all of this follows under just being loyal to God, being a sacrifice, sacrificing your own pride, your own rights as an American citizen, and just saying, I'm going to be subject to those who God placed above me, not just because they are my human authority, because God told me to, because I'm under God. And so are you a loving, obedient, subjective citizen? Are you someone who respects and submits to authority? Or are you so full of yourself and are you so defensive of your rights and your freedom that you will not obey even the authority that God has placed over you? Friend, if you do that, then you are not obedient to God. If you do that, you can't be rebellious towards your authority and be in a good relationship with God. It's impossible, because they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There is a punishment for not being subject to authority. Are you subject? Are you law-abiding? Are you loving? And are you doing your part as a Christian to be that kind of citizen and to be loyal to God in that way? Because the night is far spent. Verse number 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness or strife or envying, not fighting for our own selves, not fighting for our own wants and desires, but put on Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He is humble, laying aside his own life so that we could have ours, sacrificing himself so that we could have eternal life. That's the spirit of Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on light. Walk in righteousness and in love. Because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Your life is already short as it is. Human life does not last very long. And we know that the end of time itself is approaching. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. There is nothing preventing Christ returning to the earth and rapturing his saints and finishing his work on this earth. It could happen any day. And are you living with that in mind? Or are you constantly fighting for yourself? Are you constantly fighting to keep your priorities first and rebelling against your authority, the powers that are over you, so that you can defend yourself, so that you can promote yourself? Or are you submitting yourself to God? Are you loyal to God in submitting to authority, in loving your neighbor as yourself, and in walking in the light? Because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. And how, what kind of citizen will Christ find you as? Obedient to God or disobedient? There's no other option. So be loyal. Be a loyal sacrifice. Sacrifice your own pride and be loyal to God, even if it means subjecting yourself to authority that you don't approve of. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless us as we dismiss. Help us to take this truth to heart and truly put ourselves aside, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk humbly, obedient to our authority, putting God first, loving one another first before ourselves, and not engaging in strife and envyings and drunkenness. But God, help us to live knowing how near the end is and how it could happen at any moment. I pray that you would find us faithful, waiting for your return, living loyal to you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.